page 371, A Critique of Methodology. Critical Theory and the Philosophy of Science. Science Needs Those Who Obey It. Theodore W. Adorno. The idea of radically eliminating the subject, not only from physics, but also from the cognitive process generally, is itself a research postulate in need of legitimation. Max Horkheimer. A theory of society has to demonstrate the relativity, contingency, in the knowledge of observable facts, vice versa, empirical research has to prevent the cognitive concept of a law from becoming a mythological concept. Theodore W. Adorno. Neither reading nor experiencing are substitutes for thinking. Pure empiricism relates to thinking like eating relates to digesting and assimilating. Arthur Schopenhauer. Progress is leaving itself behind. Max Horkheimer. It is sheer nonsense to assert that critical theorists were anti-scientific. Quite the contrary. The group relentlessly defended the sciences against neo-romantic spiritualists and idealist attacks, as well as against their positivistic reductions. Footnote 1, text. Page 372. They rejected the aim of certain pseudo-sciences. Footnote 2, text. To bypass empirical evidence in favor of supposed essences beyond all appearances and emphatically supported the activity of science of incorporating events into more general contexts and comprising them under rules as a legitimate and useful business. Resistance against it in the name of freedom is a fight against windmills. Footnote 3. Text. Horkheimer's insistence on unconditional empirical stringency. Footnote 4. Text. And the investigations of the Institute bear witness to their unwavering alliance with the sciences. Rather than retreat from them, critical theorists emphasize the need to keep abreast of the most advanced positions in the various disciplines, both to use and to criticize them effectively. Yet, science and its interpretations are two different things. Footnote 5, text. Horkheimer contended in a series of seminal articles and reviews in the Zeitschrift, Horkheimer and Marcuse challenged certain claims of the contemporary philosophy of science, such as the programmatic universalism of the unified science or the tendential reduction of science and philosophy to question of methodology. Some of the self-images and supposed social functions of the scientific community, certain political claims raised in the name of scientific progress, and last but not least, the identification of scientific and technological rationality with reason in general. To the extent that certain tacit presuppositions in these concepts of science re-emerged as substantive assertions of particular social theories and even in entire research programs, they equally criticized the practice of the established social sciences. But Horkheimer also repeatedly stressed that critical theory was not an alternative to traditional theory in science. Footnote 6. The text. These were the raw material, so to speak, of a critical science, its craft-like preliminaries. However intense the interaction between critical theory and the special sciences, whose progress must remain the take-off point for critical theory. Critical theory nowhere aims at the mere increase of knowledge as such. Footnote 7. Text. If there is any legitimacy to the claim of science being an aspect of autonomous reason, any science, in their view, must also be its own meta-science. It must know why it is doing what it is doing. For scientific procedure is never itself a guarantee of truth. Footnote 8, text. And the progress of science, therefore, not necessarily identical with human progress. Such, however, were precisely the assumption put forth by much of the contemporary philosophy of science, into which philosophy in general seemed to get increasingly absorbed. Page 373. Despite assertions by Russell, Wittgenstein, Husserls, and others that science has little to offer for the solution of existential questions, the scientific claim to universal truth, footnote 9, text, or at least to the proper method to attain it, necessarily involved existential decisions by becoming a model for rational living. Scientism and its technological rationality tended to become a total life form at the expense of any other. Was there perhaps an ideological thrust to scientism after all? Its often merely formal concern seemed to render that question irrelevant. Critical theorists were not convinced. They took a close look at what they summarily grouped as positivism, logical positivism, especially the so-called Vienna Circle at Carnap, Neurath, Schlick, and others, logical empiricism, realism, logical atomism, the early Wittgenstein, and found an ontology beneath their formal and methodological postulates. To be sure, critical theorists shared the distrust of mere metaphysics with logical positivists. What made the latter suspect, however, is that they summarily dismissed as metaphysical anything transcending their own approach. Certainly, science and metaphysics cannot be considered equal branches of knowledge. To a large extent, science itself is the critique of metaphysics. Logical empiricism, footnote 10, text, however, stigmatizes any theory as metaphysical, which critically examines the single disciplines themselves. Footnote 11, text. The very divisions in organization into fields of experience which seem to correspond to their social organization. Critical theorists turned the charge of metaphysics against the accusers. The hypothesis of a viewpoint, whether methodological, substantive, linguistic, or whatever, as final and valid a priori, that is, exempt from historical modification, a viewpoint or principle from which all else is derivative, itself seemed such a metaphysical premise, such a trans-historical and thus overextended concept of truth seemed to derive from the idea of a pure, non-contingent, infinite mind reason, that is, in the last analysis, the idea of God, footnote 12, text. Moreover, by opposing all achievements of thought which have played crucial roles in human history with those it agrees to have been important, true, and authentic, logical empiricism quite falls out of its self-declared role as a tautology, and itself turns out to be a subjective judgment. Footnote 13, text. Logical empiricists, Horkheimer charged, posit all forms of being a constant, the same, and yet this assertion that the correct form of all knowledge is identical with physics and that physics is the great unified science under which all other sciences are to be subsumed. This assertion posits certain structures as unchangeable and thus represents a judgment a priori. Footnote 14, text. Such a pro-metaphysical position absolves the given world by connecting it to a meaningful structure of being which is said to exist independent of historical changes. Footnote 15, text. An ontology under the guise of a neutral methodology. Page 374. The social relevance of science, therefore, consisted not merely of its results, nor could it be made more progressive by simply changing its current application, as the advocates of partisan science and science for the people were demanding, by no reflecting on their paradigmatic premises and analytic categories. Scientists often take their clues from pre-rational, pre-scientific definitions of their objects. Social scientists especially tend to investigate problems without considering whom these are problems for. An atrophied thought process rewarded with the label of a scholarly virtue. In our time, Horkheimer complained, thinking is endangered not so much by the wrong path it may pursue as by its being prematurely cut short. To the extent that an unreflexive science serves any social order, managing its problems and crises and thus helping to stabilize that order. It is a mere handmaiden, footnote 16, text, of the powers that be, the very powers that have a vested interest in repressing the emergence of alternative or better orders. And to that extent, science passively participates in the common injustice, footnote 17, text. Moreover, since scientific knowledge has the form of technical, instrumental knowledge, the problems to which science addresses itself must first be translated into this manageable form, that is, into technical problems, leaving the substance of the problem untouched. With scientism and its complementary technological rationality having become the prevalent ideology of the time, Horkheimer concluded that, in as far as we can rightly speak of a crisis in science, that crisis is inseparable from the general crisis. The historical process has imposed chains on science as a force of production. And these show in the various sectors of science, in their content and form, in their subject matter and method. Footnote 18, text. Certain problems cannot appear as scientific problems within the scientific paradigm, which thus awards cognitive respectability only to problems accessible to what is to be the one and only valid method, quite evidently a rather unscientific value decision. It is not the victory of science that is the distinguishing mark of our 19th century, but the victory of the scientific method over science. Footnote 19, text. Nietzsche had indicted the arbitrary cognitive restriction. The technical value is built into the very form of scientific knowledge, and thus the very methods of attaining it. The aim of science to produce technically usable knowledge, the limits desirable, permissible, prohibitive, methodical relations to object, an insight we express in the concept of an approach to them. Page 375. Comte's famous dictum about the business of science, savoir pour prévoir, to know in order to foresee, that is to bring nature under human control, almost has the ring of tautology. Critical theorists did not challenge this aim. They just refused to exempt control from the